But here we are in the Lord's presence on this momentous occasion. What occasion is that? An occasion when we're going to be looking at 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7 once again. And this is a parenthetical statement that we're taught here of our lives. Though our lives are lived in the bodies that the Lord has given to us, and we are in these bodies, and being in these bodies, our five senses come into play. We have other in this world in which we live, we have this God or this world consciousness and self-consciousness because of it. And when we talk about our God consciousness, he adds that in there parenthetically because that takes what? Faith. It takes faith. And so we want to continue talking about how it is that the Christian life takes faith. It takes faith. And he says in chapter 5 and verse 7, for we walk by what? Faith and not by sight. Let's pray together. Father, as we're here in your presence and we come now to your word, we thank you for the excitement that we feel in this place this morning. An excitement because of the nearness of your presence, because of the realities of the kingdom of God and the goodness of God in each one of our lives. And I pray that that excitement will be all that much more felt by each of us as your Holy Spirit falls upon us, the hearers of this message this morning. I pray in Christ's name, amen and amen. And so here we are. I want to read one more passage of Scripture, one more quick Scripture, that Genesis chapter 17 and verse 17. And this is a very familiar passage of Scripture to us. I don't want to get a whole lot into context, and you know how difficult that is for me, but because I have 8 points this morning, I'll refrain from getting into too much of the context, and that's an awful lot for me, being a teacher, not to help unravel some of the context here, but nonetheless, I'll just read it. Abraham, after his long wait, is visited by the Lord, and Genesis chapter 17:17, and he's told by the Lord that the promise that he and his wife Sarah were given so many years before this is finally spoken to him by the Lord. The promise is about to be fulfilled. Abraham, you and Sarah are going to have a kid. And look at verse 17. When Abraham heard this, it says Abraham fell face down laughing. I mean, imagine that. You know, he fell down laughing. Hey, old man, you and Sarah are about to have children. The amazing thing about that is he was promised, no delivery of the promise on God's part. Delay. And here he is, 100 years old. And not only, in 100 years, there's a lot of water that goes over the dam. You know what I'm saying? A lot of things happened in this man's life. And not only that, promised a son to continue to be the heir through which God was going to continue to bless. Not only that, but he was given a wife who was unable to have children. It almost seems like God didn't know what he was doing. To say to this man, it almost seemed as though God, I mean, laugh. You know, it's like, God, how cruel is that? To promise me a child and then give to me a wife who could not have children. Did you realize that? And so not only was it a case now that Sarah at the beginning was barren, but she is way past childbearing years, all right? I mean, she has long gone through menopause. And to think now, God comes on the scene and he says, hey, boy, you know, remember the promise? Yeah, still holding on to it, God. It's going to happen. He falls down laughing. I don't know if he was thinking about the experience. Probably.
You got to be kidding.
As much as he was, I, you know, not only can I not deliver, I don't think she's up to it either. You know? And it just caused them to fall down laughing. And so we walk by what? Not by sight. God help us to hear some things this morning from the Lord. So we ended, as a part of this introductory message last week, I asked the question, how's your faith? How's your faith? And I want to keep that on the table, as it were, before us, and to add to that a little bit this morning, to add to it this idea, it's a little bit of a qualifier here. You know, how's your faith in the context of, you know, qualifying it? How are you exercising your faith? And we, of course, mentioned that last week as well. And we said from our text that faith for the Christian life is like what sight is to my everyday life. Okay? And you can fill in the blanks there. I want to move along to get to our 8 points. So faith makes the realities I find in this word. It makes the realities that I find here realities in my walk in the Lord. We walk not by sight, but we walk by faith. And it's faith that's able to reach into here. In the realities that are put forward in this word, faith takes those. I mix this. This word, unless it's mixed by faith, does me no good. Faith lifts it off the printed page. Faith takes it out of the realm of what I hear by thoughts, and to hear the voice of God speaking to me in my everyday life. And it says, go ahead now. No, go ahead now. Put it into the reality of your life. So our scriptures, the Bible, is very much concerned with how's my faith? How's your faith? In particular, what kind of faith do you have? And remember that we see very little of how much faith do you have when it comes to the Bible, right? Because being, you know, the size, you could have faith the size of what? A seed. And it be what? Enough. Enough. So it always is the kind of faith. And what that means also is how it is that I am exercising the faith that I have. That's the rub right there. How am I exercising the faith that I have? And also, our scriptures show us not so much a philosophical definition, if you will, of what faith is. So that, you know, you say, well, explain to me what faith is. Okay, let me give you chapter and verse. You're going to go there, and you're going to be given an explanation, a definition of what faith is. Memorize this, and you'll get that inside of you, and boy, faith will start to work. Mm-mm. The closest we have to a definition of faith is Hebrews 11:1. And then it's, you know, sketchy. But then in the rest of the chapter, he shows us example after example after example of what faith looks like in real life, in demonstration. This is what faith looks like by people, as it says over and over again in Hebrews chapter 11. What's the famous phrase in Hebrews chapter 11, right? What? By faith, by faith, by faith. I counted them up one time. I don't know. There's something like 300,000 times that it's said there. By faith. And so the Bible is quick to show us examples of people who are like you and me. And this is the kind of thing that we have to almost demystify, as it were, the Bible and the characters of the Bible. And I don't think it takes long to do that when you start reading the stories, the biographies, if you will, of people in the Bible. To get that They were made out of the same stuff and deal with the same kinds of things as you and me. And some of them, in fact, right? And so we see this, examples of people like you and me, and we see them in everyday life with everyday stuff. How it is that in those situations, they did what? They exercised faith. And so the Christian life takes faith. And so our scriptures are very much concerned with how's our faith, and shows us God goes to great pains to make sure that we get this, that we get it, how our faith ought to be exercised. And he shows us by examples, mainly, of people, as I said, and in particular, he shows us through Abraham. Now, there's lots of people in the Bible that we can look at for faith, but Abraham ought to stand out to us, right? I mean, you think about faith in the Old Testament. In fact, he is known as the father of our faith, even our faith, Abraham. So Abraham shows us some things about faith, even as we read here. His faith tickled him, didn't it? You know, his faith tickled him. And I want to lift some examples of how it is that Abraham exercised faith. I want to lift them from his life to say to us, to say to me, this is how faith is exercised in my life. And so getting right at it, here's the first one. Are you ready? Now, once again, I must say that all of these things are taken directly from Abraham's life. When you start in Genesis, the end of chapter 11, Genesis 11, where you are initially introduced to Abraham, Abraham's father, Terah, and then come to meet Abraham in Genesis chapter 12. And as you read through those chapters in Genesis, each one of these points that I'm making, you can see them, you can uncover them there. And some of them don't take much digging to get at. They're very obvious, okay? And so because of my incurable, I was going to say disease, but habit, incurable habit of having to get it all out there in one message, I have to get through all eight, and so I'll spare you the context and the scripture verses, but I can give them to you, okay? One of the things that we see Abraham doing in his walk of faith is he surrenders himself often to the Lord. And it's depicted when it says, and Abraham built an altar unto the Lord. And so there are these occasions in Abraham's life, three or four times, where the scripture draws our attention to this altar building exercise that Abraham goes on in his life. Culminates, of course, in the final altar that he builds when he sacrifices Isaac. Right? When he sacrifices Isaac. Whew, that's some tough stuff right there. But here's what I want to say about that, okay? Like Abraham, I exercise my faith when I build an altar in surrender just that much more of my life to the Lord. So that surrender in my life is something that is a repeated process. I gave my life to Christ way back in 1972. It's coming up, March 1st. I feel the excitement of it. My spiritual birthday coming up, and I'll be, 45. I go by that birthday more than I do the other. Hey. And I see that my faith stays vibrant. Listen, my faith stays healthy When I come to those times in my life where you say, you know what? There's a need for an altar to be built. There's a need in my life to be for an altar to be built. To where, you know what, I've come to this time in my life, be it a circumstance, be it a situation, be it just a season of life in which you're in. And you say, God, I need to build an altar right now. I surrender. I resurrender. I give you more of my life now than I have before. Jesus, I surrender my life to you. So that's the first thing in exercising our faith. We exercise our faith when we build an altar and surrender that much more of our lives. Here's the second one. I obey. I exercise my faith when I obey without having a full explanation. It's called trust. And so, you know, we come, you know, it's like, have you ever read the Bible and gone away saying, boy, I completely understand that? That's a rarity. But like, I think it was Mark Twain who said, you know, it's not so much the things that I don't understand about the Bible that give me the most problems. It's the things I do understand. So there's enough there that I do understand. But here's the thing. With obeying the Bible, and not only obeying the Bible in the sense of, you know, the letter of the law. This is a walk by faith that we're in. And in this walk by faith, God, by His Spirit, internalizes that word inside of me. And with the internalizing of that word inside of me, it's always calling for a response. Always, always, always. And so when that word comes in, God's looking. And I respond to that word by faith. Now, I'm not always going to have it together. There are things right now that I'm arguing with the Lord about because it's just not clear. And no matter how much I argue with Him about, clarity has not come because He says, just do it. Just do it. Because the principle is, oh, the principles are so, I wish it were as simple as just get the principles down and you got it. Because the principle is, when I respond by faith to the Word of God, I'll have the experience that it says. But the rub in all this is, before the experience or the explanation or the understanding comes, I have to do what? Respond to that Word. And it never happens the other way around. Lord, if you just filled me in a little bit more, we're good. That's the second one. They get better. We're on number three. I got lots of time. I've only got five more to do. Here's the next one. You ready? Now, all of these come with scripture verses. Some of you who know your Bibles well enough can probably... Here's the next one. You ready? I exercise my faith when I mess up. And I stay the course. Now, Abraham messed up. I mean, you know, we talk about his... You know, the situation that he got into with Ishmael, right? I mean, God promised his son through Sarah. It didn't come, right? Delay, 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 delay. Sarah says, what the heck's going on here? Here, have a child with her. Abraham says, sure, why not? You know, has Ishmael, creates all kinds of problems. For 13 years, the scripture tells us, Abraham heard nothing from the Lord. At least nothing that we have recorded after Ishmael was born. God went silent. At least we have no record. For 13 years, he messed up. And God was making a point. You messed up, boy. And what we wonderfully see about Abraham is this. And this is what I've said to you before from Romans chapter 4, where it says of Abraham, he wavered not in faith. What the heck was it? What's Ishmael all about if he wavered not in faith? What? Because though he messed up, he stayed the course. When God finally came to reveal himself to him, God said, Abraham was able to say,
I'm right here. Yes, Lord, I'm right here. He stayed the course. You mess up, you stay the course. What are you doing? You're exercising faith. Here's the next one. I exercise my faith when I hold on to the God of promise tighter than I do the promises of God. I hold on to the God of promise tighter than the promises of God. You see, it's not the promises of God. Now, are they important? Does God give us promises? Yes, absolutely. If Abraham would have held on to the promise tighter than he did to the God of promise, he would have never made it, and he would have never been obedient when God said, go sacrifice your son, Isaac. Because the scripture says, Abraham counted God as what? Who knows? Who knows? Come on. God said of God, Abraham said of God, he is what? He is what? He is what? He is what? He is faithful. He is faithful. He is faithful. You understand? He's faithful. I'm hanging on to God who is faithful. The promises come and go. I get fuzzy about the promises. I'm not sure. But the God of promise is sure. And he's faithful. I have a tighter grip on him than I do the promises that I have received. The promises are important, but they'll never come to fulfillment unless I hold on to him tighter. Here's the next one, moving right along, because I can't wait to get to the last one. And you're saying, yeah. Here's the next one. I resist, see, I exercise my faith when I resist giving into doubt's unsettling ways. When I resist discouragement's negativity, when I resist the devil's accusations, I exercise my faith, this is all one, by the way, when I resist giving into death's awful finality. It's a mouthful, but I see this in Abraham's life. I think of how it is that he resisted death's awful finality. For when God spoke to him to sacrifice his only son, Isaac, Abraham took him. And on the way there, going to the altar of sacrifice, Isaac speaks up and he says, Father, he says, I see the fire. I see the wood for the sacrifice. He looks up at his father and he says, but where's the animal that we're going to be sacrificing? He says, don't worry, son. God's going to provide that. And it says of Abraham, though he bound his son to the altar, ready to sacrifice him up, and he did figuratively give him up, Abraham said in his heart, death is not final. God's able to raise him from the dead. Now apply that to your life. There are situations, there are circumstances, there are losses, there are discouragements. There's all kinds of things that stare us in the faith and say, this is final. It's the death blow. The plug has been pulled. The bleep that was going on and off is now just straight lined. You're dead. Faith resists that and says, God is able to bring resurrection. In fact, faith says, because there is death, resurrection will follow. And that's how victory comes. We think it's death and it's over. He says, because there's death, there's tomorrow. Because there's death, there's life. Because there's death, there's resurrection. But oh, getting through that part, the death part. And so many other things I can say about the 10 other points that I have under just this one point. And I wish I could talk about the devil's resisting the devil's accusations. You're too old. Sarah? She's changed in 99 years. You know, that young-looking, robust bride Huh? So many things I could say. Here's the next one. Somebody say that again because I want to get it. Huh? I'll keep going. All mature. That's where we got to keep it. That's the strength of love. All these changes can happen as we grow older, right? And yet, boy, I just love you more today than I did ever have loved you before. It's incredible. Let's move on before I get in trouble. I'm there. And so, listen, here's the next one. I don't know what number we're on, but listen. I exercise my faith. Maybe I have more than eight. I exercise my faith. Listen, I exercise my faith when I pay my tithes. Oh, yeah. I exercise my faith when I pay my tithes. See? It's not just a matter of, well, I pay my tithes, I'm obeying the Bible. You know, I'm paying my tithes because what? No, I'm exercising faith when I pay my tithes. And like, now keep it in the analogy of exercise, you know. What you don't exercise atrophies, right? Grows weak. Useless. It says that in Hebrews 7 that Abraham paid tithes to Melchizedek in the situation that he was in. Abraham took all of he took a tenth of that and he paid tithes. And the institution of tithing in Israel was impressed into service that has been taken over by the Church of Jesus Christ as well, that when I pay my tithes, I'm exercising faith. Did you realize that? When you pay your tithes, you're exercising your faith. How's your faith? Here's the next one. I exercise my faith when I influence the culture in which I live more than the other way around. It's said of Abraham that he looked, in Hebrews 11, that he lived as a stranger in the culture in which he was living. Remember the old Petra song? Come on, who knows? Remember the old Petra song? Todd, come on, baby. You should find it and play it at the end of the service. I'm not of this world. Who was it? Greg Volz? Was that? Who? Ray Volz. Who used to sing, hit that high note. I don't know if it was Ray Volz. Hit those high notes. Huh? Greg, thank you. And I'm not of this world. We're strangers. We're pilgrims. We're aliens. You know? And you say, well, we know that. But the Bible talks about us in those terms. I'm not of this world. I belong to another. You see? And we get so caught up in the culture, political culture, economic culture, international cultures. We get caught up in the fight and we begin using weapons that we have no business using because Paul says that we are not of this world and the weapons of our warfare are not of this world. We fight differently. But especially do we falter in faith when we look more like our culture than we do the Church of Jesus Christ. See, who's influencing who here? I exercise my faith when I influence my culture. You see, I have this attitude about myself. I really do. It's a subtle thing. It's not something that I wear on my shirt sleeve, but it's this type of thing that says I'm salt and I'm light. I do the influencing around here. Isn't that what Jesus said? Here's the next one, moving right along and finishing right on time. I was preparing this message, and I'm laughing. I'm just laughing. It's like I think when I hit point number 7, I'm laughing. I'm going to be killing them today. Number 7. What am I on? Number 8. Well, then I have 9.
See, I don't let it all out at once. Because it's I save you the psychological stress.
Here's the next one. Ready? I exercise my faith when I remain expectant over a long period of time.
I know Sandra and I have been waiting a long time for certain promises to be fulfilled, to see certain things change that we've exercised faith for. Prayers that we have prayed that yesterday were not answered, today they continue to go unanswered. We're expecting that tomorrow the answer will come. And when you look at Abraham and Sarah, promised, it almost seemed as though God was mocking them, promising them something, like the carrot in front of the horse to make the cart go. And the cart goes, but the horse never gets the carrot. Listen, we get the carrot. We get the carrot. This is the promise. We get the carrot. And so I remain expectant over a long period of time. You understand? I just accept this attitude, because this is faith. This is how I exercise faith. And if I exercise that faith tomorrow, I find a strength coming to me tomorrow to exercise it yet for another day. But if I allow discouragement's negativity to make me into don't be a Debbie Downer, don't be a negative Nelly, then that's going to mitigate against the faith that keeps me buoyant and positive. Come on, isn't that right? This is the last one now. Am I on the last one? Here's the last one. You ready? I end where we began. I began, this is number 9. I exercise faith every time I laugh. Every time I laugh, I exercise faith. And when you live the Christian life and you're growing and you're walking with the Lord and you have kids.
Amen.
It's not, it doesn't take long before the laughter can go out of your life. You know what I'm saying, Sandy Tooker? We love you, Ian. We love you. But life being what it is, we have to find these ways to make us laugh, whether it be my favorite comedian, whatever it is that medicates me, the happy sound of the pop of the cork from the wine bottle. It's metaphorical. It's just metaphorical. It's metaphorical. But seriously though, there has to be this thing about us that I exercise faith to laugh. Man, if you've been through, and I know some of you looking at your faces, I know some of the stuff you've lived with and you're living with. And this isn't, this kind of sadistic type of humor where, your life is falling apart, just laugh. No. But it's the kind of thing that where all the things in your life say contrary to what you're just now seeing or just now feeling from the Word, from the Lord, as it was with Abraham. Abraham, yes, Lord. Well, Abraham, Let's take stock here of the way things are. You're 100. You're an old fart, Abraham. And let's bring in Sarah, your wife. Oh, do you have to, God? Yeah, Sarah. And he, makes the case. And he says, I want to tell you something. You know that promise I promised you, all these long years ago? It's going to happen next year at this time. And Abraham laughs. He laughs. Sarah laughs, and she lies about laughing afterwards.
right? I didn't laugh. No, that wasn't me laughing. It was the goat that I was about to prepare, for supper. And God says, no, you laughed. And then he says, I want you to name the promise, who knows? I want you to give the name to your child, laughter. Imagine that. Did you know that? We call him Isaac. Did you know what it means in the Hebrew? When God said, I want you to name him Isaac, he was saying, I want you to name this kid laughter. That every time you see him, you're going to bring all of that long history of how I've been your faithful God all these years. And you're going to see that I deliver on my promise. And you know what that's going to cause you to do? That I've delivered on the promise and been faithful to you? Regardless of your circumstance, of where you are then at in your life, you will exercise faith and laugh. And laugh. Laugh. And laugh. David said, you have turned from me my mourning into dancing. You have filled my mouth with what? Laughter. Doesn't that just sound good? Wouldn't you like to be living there? You turn my mourning into dancing for me. You fill my mouth with laughter. Ha, 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 ha. Ha, 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 ha. You know? You just lost your job, no fault of your own. Don't know where the next paycheck is going to come from. The mortgage is due. And God says, I'm working something in your life through this. And as I have been faithful to you in the past, remember that time when you lost your job before and I provided for you? I'm the same God now, and I'm going to be faithful to you. Why don't you exercise a little bit of faith and laugh in the middle of these circumstances? Okay. Ha, ha, ha. There was a time when Sandra and I would say, you know, time for a laugh break. Remember? Let's laugh. Now we don't need any break. I just torment her. I thought it was funny this morning when I snuck up on her and turned the... turned the water on cold. Get out of here! Get out of here! Not in a nice voice. I mean, she could have said... she could have said, oh, hon, please, please don't do that. Please leave the bathroom now. Stop that. Does she do it like that? No. How did I leave? Laughing all the way. Let's stand together. The laugh of faith. See, I exercise my faith when I laugh. And it's more than, I'm done preaching. Okay, let's pray. Father, I want to thank you for the people this morning, how they put up with me. There's an exercise of faith in these messages. But Lord, you know that my heart is full and that my care for these things in my own life and the life of your people is deep. And so, Lord, I pray that you will help us to exercise our faith that we might be pleasing to you in Christ's name. God bless you. See you around.